Hey, this is David Perdue from the Novice to Advanced Marketing System and MindAms.com. This is the Insiders Club. And yes, I do have trouble always remembering Novice to Advanced Marketing System. It's been 5 years of another way. We're changing the acronym, so that's all right. NAMS. This is NAMS. And what we do on our Insiders Club monthly workshop is we spend about 4 hours digging into some really deep techniques and strategies for a topic that we all want to be part of. And what we have also done with these insider group trainings is that we use this course, which we turn these into courses, these four-hour courses. We turn this course, we use this course as our text, basically, and our checklist for the following month's challenge in the Insiders Club. So next month in the Insiders Club, the challenge is going to be on Kindle publishing. And this is working out really well because we get really good information from great experts like Kristen Eckstein, who's on with us today. And then we use that information to really start building our business in the right direction. And we always invite expert to come back and help us out. This time, Kristen is actually doing her own 30-day boot camp. It's called Kindle in 30. And it runs concurrently with our challenge. So if you are signed up for her Kindle in 30, you're really going to get a double dose of Kindle publishing. She's going to do all of the heavy lifting in the Kindle in 30, and we're going to do all of the support and encouragement and for the insiders and to help each other promote those things on our insider, promote your books on the insiders group. So that's going to work out pretty well, don't you think, Kristen? Kristen? Kristen!
Hey, sorry. I had my headset just died.
Oh!
Add to my good mood today, folks. you'll hear me through my microphone, but if there's any feedback, it's because it's coming through the speakers now, so I can hear you.
Actually, it sounds good. Sounds really good.
Okay, good.
Good.
Cool.
All right. So, I do think that that little two-step process, by the way, is going to work well. And your Kindle in 30 is an ongoing process, right?
Yes. Kindle in 30 is actually going to be a rinse and repeat. We have the challenge going on where people will be there live, and I'll do trainings combined with some masterminding and, you know, Q&A and stuff like that. And then after, like by the end of January, the goal is that you're at least with your first published book, and it's done. If you already have a Kindle book, then the goal is that it's selling and selling well. So the challenge that I'm running is a little different than David's, where I'm doing a combination of training for wherever you're at in the process, along with what I'm calling now home play, taking a spin on Therese Barbie's home fun instead of homework, because mm-hmm. who wants to work?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have home play, and you get to choose two of the three home plays to do, which will be all based on where you're at in the process.
Oh, good.
Because we have people all across the board. So it's going to be a little bit more hands-on coaching, that kind of thing, masterminding, and accountability, of course. So it goes hand-in-hand really well with what David's doing in January.
Yeah, that's great. All right, so we'll tell people more about that in a little bit, too. But let's get started today talking about Kindle. Now, everybody on here will get access as part of this package. We'll get access to the one-hour live training we did last week. And you did a great job in our live training last week for the entire community of going over the basic fundamentals of Kindle, and you covered a ton of information in there. And I really don't want us to go back and cover all of that again because they can listen to that. But what I'd really like for us to do is kind of hone in today on how to make Kindle happen for people and how to get them started making money. So why don't you talk about first about your experience in the last 4 months and what's happened with you?
Well, this is quite interesting. I've been working with Nicole Dean, and I've jumped through many NAMS coaches. Mm-hmm. Just like they keep passing me off to each other, and I make full circles, and it's quite fun. I've worked with Bob Jenkins and Therese Barbie and now Nicole Dean, and it's great because we're all family, so we just keep passing each other around. So Nicole has really been kicking my butt in the passive income, which Kindle's a huge part of.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had this idea for a series for years. I just never got the name of it. And I don't know about you, but it's really hard for me to work without a title, because having a title helps me focus and narrow down exactly what I'm going to write about. So it was one of those 3 a.m. moments. A few of you who were on the earlier webinar heard about this already. I was sleeping, and I woke up at 3 in the morning with this idea to call it the Author's Quick Guide Series. And I'm like, yes, that means I don't have to write a lot. I can just be quick. So I started brainstorming on my phone, and my husband was asleep, so I put my phone under the cover so the light wouldn't wake him up. And here's what I ended up doing. I opened the notes panel, and I just brain dumped everything in my head. Because I don't know about you, but if you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning with a great idea, a lot of times that idea just snowballs, and it keeps going until it's an avalanche. And unless you get those ideas out of your head, you can't go back to sleep. Mm-hmm. Well, turns out I had too many ideas in my head, and I couldn't get back to sleep anyway. So I got up and implemented one of them, and I wrote The Author's Quick Guide to Pricing Your Book, which was the first one in the series. And if you would be patient with me 1 second, I have to kick my cat out of the office because she was hiding under the couch.
I understand.
And so I came out, now she's playing with all the papers on my floor.
Yep.
The joys of having furry children.
Yep.
There. Okay. So anyhow, my process for this was I started running out of ideas after about like 10 of them. And I'm like, I want more ideas, because some of these could be combined into books, and I don't necessarily want to write all these as their own book. So what I did was I went to my blog on my phone again, and I started just looking through my categories already set up. So if you go to my blog, you can see that I have all these categories specific to writing, publishing, book marketing, stuff like that. So when I was doing that, I was coming up with a boatload of ideas. And because, you know, looking at the titles of my blogs, I'm like, oh yeah, I could expand that blog into a Kindle book, and I could take this blog and mix it with that one that's related, and oh look, there's parts 1 through 4. There's a Kindle book. So I brainstormed them all out. The Pricing Your Book one became the first one because I had already written a workbook for a previous program that had pricing formulas in it, and that was a question that I'd already gotten asked 3 times that week. So these people, you know, keep coming and asking me questions. Well, what about pricing for Kindle? Well, what about pricing, you know, how do I price my book for print? And how do I figure out what's a good retail price? And how do I research my market? All that kind of stuff. And with all those questions coming at me all at once, I was like, maybe I should just answer this, and then I can point them to my Kindle book for the answer. And I'm not wasting my time coaching them for free. I'm sending them an answer that they like. Mm-hmm. And it's valuable to them, so they're going to spread it around, and I'm creating passive income. Cool.
That's always cool. So the passive income piece of this was really the driver, right?
That was. And I don't know if those of you here who know Daniel Hall, who's also a big part of NAMS, Daniel rocks at Kindle Passive Income, and when I met him a couple years ago, I was sitting in his class going, dude, I want to be you when I grow up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I knew what I had to do was create a series. Because that's really where the money starts to roll in and become very passive. And, I mean, if you're making a couple dollars a month on Kindle, that's pretty good. If you're making a couple $100 a month on Kindle, that's really good. Mm-hmm. If you're making $500 to $1,000 a month, that's excellent. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Daniel's making a little more than that. Mm-hmm. So. And he's been at it for like 20 years, or well, however, he's been doing book stuff and publishing for about 20 years, and
right.
He's done Kindle since it first came out. So
right.
Naturally, he's going to have more books and products. He's got like 100 books up there, so he's got a lot of passive income coming in. And so, you know, I'm just getting started in this, honestly. But the doing a Kindle book a month or a Kindle book a week has really skyrocketed. And guys, it's been a lot of work. I mean, I'm not going to tell you it's been all roses, because, like, actually yesterday, last night at about midnight, I gave myself permission to only write one book instead of two for the end of the year. Because when I looked at the calendar, I realized next week is not only Christmas, but it's the last full week of the year, so why am I pressing myself to write another Kindle book because there's only 3 days
Right.
You know, 4 days in January trumps 3 days in December for the final week. So I'm not, it doesn't mean I'm not going to write my last Kindle book in this series. I will. I'm just, that's going to be my January book, because my plan is for next year to do a book a month. Because I don't want to show people just that you can do a book a week, which is possible if you already have a ton of content.
Uh-huh.
I want to show people that it's very possible if you don't have a ton of content to do a book a month.
And okay, so
very reasonable.
Let's talk about that for a second, because I'm thinking that a lot of people who are listening to this probably don't have a ton of content. They probably have a ton of ideas. So if I were getting started and wanted to get started as a Kindle publisher, first tell me why I would do that. Why would I want? I mean, you were a skeptic about Kindle publishing.
Yeah, you know that.
I know that. And I see that Jason and Will Jason Flatland and Will Matos are now getting into Kindle publishing big time. And it wasn't 4 months ago that Will told me I'll never do Kindle publishing because I don't see where the reward is in Kindle publishing. All of a sudden, he's seeing some people making $10,000 a month doing Kindle publishing, and they're very interested. So,
which is actually $10,000 a month is like not a number that you should think you're a failure if you don't reach it.
Right. Right.
Because not even Daniel Hall makes that. And he's like Kindle Empire. So just so you guys know, $10,000 a month also might not necessarily mean just on Kindle. You can make, I have made more than $10,000 a month since I started the challenge because of the credibility mm-hmm. that having all these Kindle books done has brought me mm-hmm. and brought my services and the challenge and all that. So, yeah, so I was a huge skeptic. You know, 3 years ago, I was like, I'm not even going to own a Kindle. Who am I kidding? And then by that Christmas, I had my first Kindle.
Right.
The next last year for Christmas, I got myself the Kindle Fire. And that was partly because I didn't win it at NAMMS.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man, I tried hard. But I was like, all right, I'll just get myself one. And now I'm actually running an affiliate contest of my own, and I bought the newest Kindle Fire, the HDX, for the second place prize for that contest. So it's becoming big. I mean, people want Kindles. They want iPads. I didn't think it would really fly, but then I started reading books on my Kindle, and I went, oh, this is kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
I can go on vacation. I can take, like, 10 novels with me. And
you can have your entire library.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Well, at the time, I only had 10. But
yeah.
You can take your entire library with. Now, I still prefer paperback. There's nothing like being able to flip very quickly. I have actually been buying both Kindle and paperback for research for mm-hmm. my series.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot on writing a good book title. And the ebook for week before last was how to create a killer title for your book. And there's only one ebook I could find on that topic, and actually my ebook is now selling like crazy because everybody wants to know it and nobody's writing about it. So there's books that are cool, like More Words That Sell and Words That Sell and stuff like that. And those kinds of reference manuals are still great to have in paperback. I was able to quickly reference things a lot faster having those on my bookshelf, my literal bookshelf, instead of on Kindle. However, I found a Kindle book that was on book titles. I downloaded it. And it was decent. I mean, the first half of it was about titling, and it was some good stuff, so I pulled some ideas from there and, you know, transformed them to be my own. Because that's actually one I had to write from scratch. I had zero material on how to write a good book title. I don't know how I come up with titles. My brain just works that way. I have no idea how it happens. I might go to a neurologist and ask them why, but they probably don't know either. They'll look and go, okay, you're weird.
So talk about the process a little bit more. I mean, you said you didn't have any content on this. Let's start from the beginning, because you have a lot of content already on your blog. You have a lot of categories. Those were kind of easy Kindle books for you to put together, right?
Right, yeah. The first, like, 10 Kindle books were super easy to do.
Because what you were doing was taking and repurposing the stuff that you had, reformatting, and then putting it all together. Correct?
Yep.
Okay,
yeah.
So now you are a person, and we have some questions already in here from people who are saying, well, I've got ideas, but how do I get started writing the Kindle book and putting it all together? You know, for me, one of the things that I know is that when I think about writing a book, I see the finished book out there, and it is a huge block. Mm-hmm. Because I think, oh man, that's a, you know, this book is going to be 80,000 words.
No.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. That's why I haven't written my showcase book yet.
Yeah.
because I thought it had to be 150,000 words. Well, guess what? I've just written my 17th Kindle book, and the average word count is 10,000 words. That's 170,000 words in 17 weeks.
Well, and the other thing is that this week alone, I've written about 5,000 words, maybe 10, in emails and blog posts. So yep. I'm writing like a madman.
And it's all content that you can repurpose. So, guys, look at also, like, when you answer a question on Facebook, I don't know about you, but I'll go in and answer a long question, and it becomes an article that I'll expand on my blog, and then that can be repurposed into a Kindle book. So those of you who think you have zero content, look at stuff you've already done. If you've done a teleseminar, if you've done a webinar, if you're answering questions through email, support questions, all that stuff is material that you can repurpose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you really have this great idea and you haven't started out with anything yet, bare bones, like the titling thing, I had nothing to work with. And I was stuck. I mean, that one actually took me a lot longer to write, even though it's a lot shorter of an ebook than most of them. I think it's under 10,000 words. And I was just like, I don't know where to start. So I started with research. I did a search on Amazon for book title, just that phrase. Then I did research on Amazon for other phrases like killer book title. Then I did a general Google search. I started with Amazon because I wanted to see what was already out there and published. And I'm going to get back to that again in a minute. So on the mind map, you'll get to expand Amazon out a little bit. I went on to look at Google because I figured somebody has to have written an article about this. And sure enough, three colleagues that I highly trust and value had articles. And they were great. They were just really great articles. One was really, really, really good. One was super in-depth. One could have been turned into a Kindle book as is because it was so long. But it was hard. It wasn't organized in a way. It was kind of hard to understand where the guy was going with it. So what I did was I read all three. I mean, it took me about a half an hour to do all this research. And I downloaded the one Kindle book that I found about book titles, you know, about that topic. And I read that one. And I kind of skimmed the headings because I know my industry well enough to know if somebody's just pulling my chain and doesn't really know what they're talking about, or to know if they really do. And this guy actually didn't know what he was talking about, so I read a few full paragraphs of things. I'm like, okay, that would be really good. I think I can add that into my ebook. And then all I did was cannibalized. I didn't copy and paste. I didn't plagiarize. I cannibalized their ideas because what I realized was their ideas were what I was doing. I just didn't know how to put it into words or how to explain it. And so what I did was I took those and I referenced a couple of them, that especially like John Kramer's was really good because I quoted him. I've quoted him a couple of times in my ebooks. And I said, according to John Kramer, he says this. Blah, 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 blah.
Which is exactly the way you're supposed to do it, right?
Exactly, exactly. And I linked, because the cool thing about Kindle books is you can embed links. So I embedded a link in his name to that article that he wrote.
And he would love you for that.
Yeah, I need to tell him about that. Yep. I need to send him a copy of the book. So that was just, I wrote it, I rewrote it into my words. After that, I expanded on his idea because his was just 10 points about a title. I mean, it was very, very short. His article was like maybe 200 words.
Mm-hmm.
And I expanded a few of his points a lot more. And then the one that I quoted that I just couldn't rewrite to make it any better because it was awesome, I just referenced it and cannibalized from him.
Okay, so before you go any further, I wanted to say here that people will have gut reactions to that whole idea of rewriting other people's material, because you some place, many of us were brought up to think if it's not completely original from your brain, it's not valid. And in my experience, what I have had to learn over these many, many, many years from my newspaper world business, I did that for 20 years, that everything is rewrite. Just about everything is rewrite. That's the reason newspapers have what they call the morgue, where you go back and you find the clips from before. That's the reason a freelance writer always starts in the library researching past magazine articles. It's so that they can rewrite. Everybody rewrites.
I don't know if you've ever read Ecclesiastes, but my favorite verse from Ecclesiastes is, there's nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Every single thing has been done before. In fact, this morning in the shower, I got this great idea because people want to know how to do an audiobook. They want to know how to do a print, how to write a print book in 30 days. And so I went out and bought all these domain names that were, you know, I already have Kindle in 30, so I bought Showcase Book in 30, Write in 30. Unfortunately, Book in 30 was already taken, so I couldn't get that one. But I pretty much bought up every audiobook in 30, everything I could within 30, because just in case I might do it. That's another thing. When you're coming up with title and topic ideas, look in a domain search and don't just come back to it later. Go ahead and buy it. Spend the $11-$12 and get the domains, because domains are real estate. And you never know, if you're not going to use them, you can end up letting them go, and then you're out, what, $12 maybe. So that's just a little side tip there. But really, there is nothing new. So I had this idea this morning, and I thought, oh, this is a great original idea. Well, then I started typing it out to Nicole in Skype and telling her, I got a brainstorm this morning. And then I hit enter, and then I realized she actually told me to do that like 2 months ago. It was nothing new.
Yeah.
And she got the idea from someone else. So it was, I thought it was my own. I thought I'd come up with it. I thought my brain was doing all this creative stuff, but there really is nothing new. There's no such thing. So cannibalizing does not mean plagiarism. It means taking someone else's idea, combining it with another person's idea, making it your own by combining in your own ideas and your own interpretation of those ideas, because that's what's going to make it very unique.
And it's the whole standing on shoulders of giants thing, you know?
Yes.
I mean, that's what we do, right?
Yeah, and anytime you can quote them and reference them, if you're going to quote a whole paragraph, please get their permission first.
Right.
You know, even
right.
if it's from an article on their blog. If you're going to quote just a sentence, they usually don't care. You know, if it's just a quick tip that they put out on social media or something, they don't care. Just make sure you reference them and put a link back to their main site or wherever you found the information.
Okay, so you have found, you've done some research at Google and Amazon. Any other places that you look particularly?
I really only look on Google and Amazon, but I also have a massive library in my office. If I turned on the webcam right now, you would see I have 4 giant bookshelves, and they're pretty much stockpiled full, especially my shelving unit that's all writing, publishing, and business books. I mean, it's pretty packed.
Okay.
So I do go to those books occasionally. When I was writing the book about titles, and actually my last book that just went out, went live yesterday. Woohoo! Mm-hmm. This week's book was yesterday, and that one's all about marketing your book. I have a lot of books about book marketing, so what I did was I pulled them off my shelf. I looked in the table of contents to see if there's anything that would fit what I wanted to talk about in my book, and then I read those sections. So I really don't read entire nonfiction books. I use, unless they're like Andy Andrews or something like that, where it's mm-hmm. an allegory, mm-hmm. I use them for reference material. And for the titles book, I use More Words That Sell, because I talked about those books and I basically did mini book reviews for those books mm-hmm. in my ebook. Because mm-hmm. I want people to use those books. I'm not going to rewrite them. They're crazy complex.
Yeah. Well, and what you're doing is a service there. When you're doing reviews of other books that you use, you're letting people in on your process, which is a service. And mm-hmm. so people love that. Now, John is saying, how do you know when a book is done? In nonfiction, when do you know you've got enough for a great book? I always have more tips, how-tos, ideas when writing a book. How can I feel confident to call a book done so I can move on to the next one?
Well, here's the thing. Your book will never be finished.
That's Bingo.
That's just the way the books are. They will never be finished. You can decide anytime when it's done. For me personally, when I have explained something to my own satisfaction of this person can get it and take action on this principle right away, it's done. Because here's the thing. Most books, like big showcase print books, are only the first 20% is read. That's it. That's like the statistic. Why? Because the first 20% is where all the good stuff is. The rest of the book is usually rehashing the same thing. Like mm-hmm. I have this book called The Coconut Oil Miracle. I love that book. That is one of the few nonfiction books I've read cover to cover. It's really good information. I could probably take 1/4 of that book and read it and be done. I could have read the first paragraph of each chapter, because all he did was took the first paragraph or two of each chapter and then rehash the same thing. And he literally repeated himself 20 or 30 times throughout the book on the same concepts. It was getting to the point where I was getting annoyed, but it was still good information. And he was rewording it in different ways. If you're clear and concise with your steps and your tips, then you don't need to reword it, because your readers are going to understand it the first time they read it. If you're not clear and it sounds a little confusing and it needs more explanation, then go ahead and add that more explanation. Mm-hmm. So as far as word count goes, my ebooks are all between 4,000 and 20,000 words. I haven't gone above 20,000. In fact, I've never gone above 20,000 words for any book I've ever written.
Wow.
My 21 Ways books, my print 21 Ways books are 10,000 to 12,000 words each.
And 10,000 words, when you think about that, if you break that down into articles, 10,000 words is 20 articles.
Yep.
I mean, that's all that is. And you can write 20 articles on your blog in a month, easily.
Or 5 articles for the future of ink, because I tend to make mine really
long. Yeah. So now, you did say something about research I wanted to come back to. Oh, I know what it is. Here, John said one source is plagiarism, two is research. And that's not technically true. One source, I would say, is basically dumb. Because you don't know, in most cases, and this is the journalist coming out of me, you don't know that one source is proof. What you want is proof of concept. So the more sources you have that prove a concept, the better off you are. So I think that's a really good point to bring up when you're doing research, is to make sure that you got more. The other thing that you were talking about here, and I wanted to capture that again, was it's our old friend Bob Jenkins who says done is better than perfect, right? And so we want to come back to that concept here. When your book is done, it's done. It's not perfect, ever. And the great thing about digital is you can always go back and make changes if you want to a new edition or whatever very easily. The thing that I have gotten stuck with, and I hear this in the question from John and some other folks here, is how do I get past my perfection? That's the question. It's not when do I know it's done. How do I get past my perfectionism? And see, for me,
I wrote a book about that.
Did you?
I did. It's Author's Quick Guide to Shaking Procrastination and Perfectionism and Getting Her Done.
Good. So you have some answers. So,
I do. And in fact, I am going to open that ebook up because, you know, I don't know about you guys, but when you write a lot of content really fast, my brain is on the book I'm writing now. So I'm going to go reference my own book. Because it does have some really good ideas in it. Let's see.
One thing that I wanted to say about the perfection piece of it for me is that it is a way for me to procrastinate.
It is. It is an excuse for procrastination.
Because if I think it's got to be perfect, then I don't have to do it. Because I'll never get it perfect, ever.
Right. In fact, that is actually the first chapter. In part two is excuse to what with a question mark and an exclamation point. So here are some tips directly from this book because it's better than me just coming up with it out of my head. First of all, a lot of the reason why we get stuck is because we don't think our ideas are viable. And we're like, yeah, but who would listen to me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a few reasons someone would listen to you. Think about a puzzle. And think about one piece in the puzzle that's missing, right in the middle. If that piece is missing, will that puzzle ever be complete? That one piece is the only piece that can reach the four pieces on either side of it. It's the only one that can make sense of the whole picture. That's you. That's your message. If your message isn't out there, there are these four people who, at least, will never get a concept. And my example for that is when I wrote the ebook Making Money with Your 99 Cent Kindle Book, most of it's actually about affiliate marketing and back-end sales.
Mm-hmm.
When I put that ebook out there, I knew the title was a little misleading because people might think it's about marketing your ebook, and it's not. It's really mm-hmm. about making money with your ebook, which is a totally different concept. Just most authors don't get that. So I'm trying to expose them to this. Well, I got this great review from one lady who said that she has studied under the biggest names in affiliate marketing, and it's never made sense until now.
Good.
That's huge. I mean, she had a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So if it wasn't for me writing that ebook, she would still be stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Now, her puzzle was not complete. So that's one reason. Also, you're the only one who's ever had the experiences that you've had. Nobody's lived your life. There are stories you can tell and examples you can give that nobody else can. And that is just, I mean, that's huge. That's just awesome. I mean, it's more than just you're worth it and an affirmation. It's nobody is you. So you really need to get your message out there. And getting past these blocks is really important because it's really mindset shifts.
Right.
And because what I've found when I coach my husband, who is the biggest perfectionist I know, his main reason for not getting something done is because it wouldn't be good enough for other people.
Right.
Because he felt like he was always judged on how good he was, and he had to make his illustrations photographic quality, otherwise people wouldn't enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to help him see, look, you're good enough as you are. You don't have to prove yourself to the world. I don't care what your mama told you. You don't have to. And sometimes it takes a little tough love, because I've gone through this with some other clients too, but if you're not sharing your unique experiences and your unique self, then your book is, you're not going to touch those people.
Right.
I mean, how badly do you want it? Do you want to write your book to touch all these lives? So, in other words, this is a really sweet and nice way of saying get over yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
do it. Also, let me scroll down through here. Beating perfectionism. Yes. Perfectionism is only an excuse. If you get rid of the perfectionistic excuse, then you'll stop procrastinating. There's a comparison thing here too, because like my husband, you know, he's always comparing himself to other people, and I've done that too. If you're comparing yourself to other people, it can lead you to drastic things that are not good. And my own personal story is I went through a period of life where a couple years ago my family basically disappeared. I lost everyone in my family. They didn't die. They just emotionally died. They're gone. And when that happened, I started comparing myself to all my successful friends.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started comparing myself, I started putting myself down even further. And this is actually why I woke up in a bad mood this morning, because I got an email that made me start looking at all the things that everyone around me was doing that I'm not. Not the stuff that I'm doing good, but the stuff that everyone else is doing good. And I had to make a decision. I actually talked to myself in the bathroom mirror,
mm-hmm.
and I said, Kristen, you have a choice. You can wallow in comparing yourself to these other successful people, or you can count your own successes. That's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to mentally count my own successes. And I did reach out to a couple friends, and I started getting texts and Skype messages of, look what you just did. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
So surround yourself with positive reinforcing people who are going to uplift you, and this is very, very key and important. You might have to hire a coach for this. People who aren't going to put up with your crap.
Yeah, that's important.
That's so important. That's something that, you know, Nick just Skyped me literally a few minutes ago and said, I know you're on your webinar, but get over your crap. I love her.
She was reading your mind, wasn't she?
Pretty much. But she didn't word it quite like that, but
yeah,
that's essentially what she was saying. No, positive and uplifting people are not people who pat you on the back and say, oh, you're so wonderful. They're not mm-hmm. those people. They're people who say, look at what you've done. You are great. Yes, you're wonderful, but they kick your butt. Exactly.
Okay.
They put it right there. So that's, you know, if you need to get a coach, then get a coach, because there's nothing like a coach to kill your perfectionism,
right,
which is important. You don't want perfectionism to live. Now, here's another way to beat procrastination. I call it the 10-minute exercise, and it's actually a chapter in this ebook. Step one is get ready. With the 10-minute exercise, you want to get ready. Getting ready means turn off your email, close your internet, quit Skype. Don't just put it on Do Not Disturb. Quit Skype. And set a timer. Or get a timer, actually. Go get a timer. You can use a timer app on your phone, but I don't recommend it. Good old-fashioned timer, because I don't want technology around you except your computer with the blank, you know, word processing document. turn off all your connections to the world. If you have people that are important, like working on a project for you, like I have a VA, and I'll tell her, like I told her today, I said, I'm going to be incognito most of the day. If you really need me for something, text me. But other than that, not looking at my phone. Then step two is get set. Get set means set your timer for 10 minutes. Now, I prefer a kitchen timer. You know, you can get a little egg timer or something. Get something cute because, I don't know about you, but with me, if it's cute and it's fun, I'm going to use it. If it's boring and old-fashioned, I'm not going to use it. So, you know, get something fun and cute. Like, I have a million USB flash drives, and the one that I use is the one shaped like R2-D2, even though it's half the size of most of the rest of them. Because it's cute and it's fun. So, get set. Then step three is go. Hit the button on your timer to start the countdown and go. If misspellings are bothering you or those red and green squiggly lines, then during your get set section, turn off your spell check. If this kind of thing doesn't bother you, then don't worry about it. Go means I don't care if all you are typing is blah, blah, blah. I don't care if you're writing la, 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 I don't know what to write. The important thing is to not let your fingers come off of the keyboard. And this is actually something that it's not easy to do, especially if you're a high perfectionist. But if you do this exercise 10 minutes every day, you will eventually get into the habit of being able to just write. And it's going to flow a lot more freely.
Okay.
So that is, you know, my key ideas for beating that.
That's a great tip. You know, every great writer that I've ever studied, and I've studied a lot of writers because I've always idolized writers, basically. This is the key to everything. They say, just write. Don't edit. Just write. And that's the first step. And then if you need to go back and edit later, you do that. That's called rewrite. And
there's actually websites that encourage this, and I'm not sure what they are, but there is, you can Google it. There is a website that will, it's called like Writer Demon or something like that, and it will scream at you if you stop. It will, like, I mean, you can set it for what level of screaming you want, and it goes up to rated R. So if you want if that kind of thing motivates you, doesn't motivate me to be called a failure if I pause for 10 seconds while I'm writing.
No,
but
that's
you can
not
set
good.
It to whatever you want. And I've heard that does work for some people. So, you know, there's that kind of thing, too.
What's the title of your ebook again on perfectionism?
Author's Quick Guide to Shaking Procrastination. This is probably my longest title of the whole series.
Mm-hmm.
And Perfectionism. And Getting Her Done. Apostrophe ER. Like Southern.
Okay. Good.
Spell
All right.
Doesn't have that ER.
Yeah, I know. Spell check doesn't like a lot of things I'm doing today. All right, so now we have talked about the getting it done. And before we move on, I want to tell people a quick story. I've told this story before, and I always tell this story because I think it's so amazing. And it's about Hugh Howey, this author that I just love now, because Hugh Howey got a big-time seven-figure book publishing deal, but he was the first guy in the author world to demand to keep his Kindle book publishing rights because he's doing $250,000 a month from Kindle. And he's a fiction writer. And the way he wrote his books, and I thought this was incredibly brilliant, the way he wrote his books was he wrote chapters at a time or sections of the book at a time, put them out on Kindle for 99 cents to see how he could, to see what the response was. The first one he put out, it was the Wool series. He's got a silo trilogy, it's science fiction, and the first book was Wool. And the first chapter that he put out got 2,000 reviews, which was astounding, all really good reviews. And so he got feedback, and he kept getting feedback to continue the series. So he ended up doing like 10 or 12 of the 99-cent chapter series for the single book. Then he put the book together and sold the book for $12. And people who bought the series or bought the chapters for 99 cents a piece bought the book too. And it was really amazing to me how he has turned his book writing into book marketing. at the same time.
Mm-hmm. That's so. Exactly what I started doing before I even heard of him from you.
Isn't that awesome how he's doing
like,
this?
Like I said, there's nothing new.
Right.
He might have gotten the idea from someone else. Somehow I got the idea. And, you know, that's one of the things that I had this idea last year to take my showcase book, and my idea was to repurpose my showcase book into Kindle books,
mm-hmm.
not the other way around. Ended up being the other way around. So I wrote all these Kindle books. I started with the outline I already had for my big showcase book, and then it just kind of exploded because people are like, oh, I want to hear about this. I want this question answered. So why am I writing all these chapters about stuff people don't want to know? So I'm getting their feedback. I'm writing the stuff they want to hear. They're collecting. I have people who actually are writing reviews now saying I have them all. So I have all of these books on it. And one of them, she said, I hope she does a challenge next year for herself because these books have been really helpful and I've collected them all. And I'm like, okay, that's somebody who's going to buy everything I ever write. That's pretty cool.
Yep.
And I'm getting feedback from some people saying, you know, I wish this ebook covered X, Y, and Z, and I wish this ebook covered that. Or, you know, the author could have been more clear in this section. So what am I doing with that information? Well, I'm repurposing most of this stuff that I've already written for this series into Book Publishing for Business, which is the title of my big showcase book. Instead of working off the outline I already have, I'm just plugging in the chapters and the books that seem to have sold the most because I'm tracking my sales, the ones that have the best reviews. And the reviews that aren't all that good, I am looking at them and saying, okay, what can I fix in the big book? Then I'm going to take that big book and send it through 5 different eyes of editing. I'm doing it right, guys. I'm doing like massive traditional publishing style for this book. And 5 sets of eyes is mine, of course, my husband's who will lay out the book, a copy editor, a professional developmental editor, and a proofreader. That will happen after the fact. So do you want me to give those to you again?
I do. Hold on 1 second. I just get what I heard. We'll come back and fill in the blanks.
Yep. Copy editor, not writer.
Oh, yeah, right. Let's see. So yours, proofreader, copy editor. How'd your husband fit into it?
He's an interior layout. Occasionally interior layout artists, if you get a good one, they're going to notice discrepancies.
Mm-hmm.
And then developmental editor.
And explain what a developmental editor is.
A developmental editor is also called a content editor or substantive editor. They're someone who is going to, they're going to take my words and literally just pull them apart and restructure my sentences to flow better while keeping my voice intact. They're a very specialized group, and there's only 2 different people that I even would consider using for my book
mm-hmm.
because they're the 2 best in the industry, and they're not cheap.
Okay.
So I'm actually, development editor, you can look at spending anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 depending on how long your book is just for that one person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're worth it. For a showcase book that's like going to compete in the traditional marketplace, it's going to be in Barnes & Noble, that is why I'm doing this because that's my goal.
Okay.
So that's the best thing is I've got this book almost totally done. I'm so excited. There's only a couple spots of it that I do want to add just because I want to add them, not because anybody asked for the information. And it's going to be because all these authors' quick guide books, like I said before, 20% of nonfiction books are actually read. Because people are reading all these author quick guide books, and each book in the series is step-by-step core how-to, not a lot of fluff. My entire showcase book is going to be the same way.
Mm-hmm.
No fluff. I'm going to have a much higher percentage of people reading the whole thing.
So let's talk about that for a second, because when people write a book and their goal is to write an entire big book, and they start writing, they end up often, I think, getting lost in their own book, right?
Yeah.
And when you're writing these smaller books and combining those, do you think for nonfiction that that's a better way to approach it because you are eliminating the fluff and you're focusing on the specific topics for each chapter?
I think it's such a good thing that I turned down $12,000 in work last week.
Wow.
I had 2 people call me wanting a big package for a print book, and I felt because of what they wanted to do that this system would be better for them.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay, so,
yeah, it's pretty powerful. And this means I'm making a lot less money, but that's okay.
So we in this how to start category that I have here, we have research. We jumped right to when it's done, and we now have talked about the editing piece of it. But I feel like there's probably something between research and when it's done. So what's
yeah.
Tell me about what's after research.
Well, after research is going to be structuring your outline. Now, you're using, is this FreeMind?
Yeah.
You can use a program like FreeMind to structure your outline. And basically what you're going to do is you're going to take your research and the topics and subheadings you see in other people's books that you want to put in your own, brainstorm it out into a mind map. I personally really love my 4-foot by 8-foot whiteboard in my office. Mm-hmm. And if you join the Kindle Challenge, you're actually going to see one of my mind maps for my the Kindle in 30 challenge, that is. You're going to see one of my mind maps for one of my ebooks because I took a picture of it because it's so cool. I have all these different colors of dry erase markers. So I'll write the title, and right now my board says AQG Manage Time. That's next week's Kindle book, How to Manage Your Time. That's in like this neon orange color. Then I have each part, because each of my Kindle books has a part to it, and that's like the those parts are going to be the chapters in my big book. So that's why I structure my Kindle books this way. Each part is in neon blue. And I have like part one is time suckers, stuff that sucks your time away. Mm-hmm. Part number two is scheduling. Part number three is everyday responsibilities. Then from that, I've got neon green for each subheading in those chapters. So I've got my title, I've got my parts, I've got my subheadings under my parts, and those are my chapters under my parts, and then I've got subheadings for each chapter. So that's how I've structured it. So title will go above parts, and
right.
Then yeah. And under my subtitles, for some of them I've broken it up even further and I've put bullet points. Because there are specific things as I'm brainstorming this out on the whiteboard. And the reason I use a whiteboard is because I can jump all over, and it's just easier for me to see it all really big in front of me versus on my computer screen. Because I've used several different mind mapping softwares, and I use them for other things. And I use Scrivener software, which is a writing program, for actually putting my outline in and rearranging my points.
Okay, so tell me those software packages again that you're talking about.
Well, there's Mind... or FreeMind that you're using now. So mind mapping software would be FreeMind. MindMeister is another one that I've used.
Yeah, that one actually is embedded in Google now these days, I believe.
Yeah, I think it is. You can actually share it via Google. So if, yeah. Like I'm using MindMeister with my VA because we're doing projects together.
Right.
And we've got some joint venture stuff right. going on, so that works really well. FreeMind is great for especially for PC based. I haven't gotten it to work on a Mac yet. I'll figure that out at some point. It's an operating system issue. And then a good old-fashioned whiteboard or pencil and paper.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually mind mapped out stuff on like 10 sheets of paper before on my table before I have my whiteboard.
And what was the writing software? You talk about Scrivener, as you said?
Scrivener. Scrivener. That software is awesome.
Okay.
It's so awesome that, you know, Felicia Slattery, she's been working on her showcase book for eons. It's been like 3 years. And since she was contracted to write it, it was 3 years ago. And, of course, she had her battle with cancer in between there. So that was a big chunk of her time
sure.
taken away. But she was really stuck on, she told me, I went to her house and we were visiting. And she said, I'm stuck. I don't know what else I could add. I don't see my gaps. So I told her, oh, I know what you can do. And I had her download Scrivener. 10 minutes later, she had all her chapters in Scrivener organized, and she had already spotted like 5 holes that she could fill.
Wow.
It's really powerful software because it lets you collapse sections so you don't even think about them. So you can focus on just one section. And it just makes it very easy to see where you're at with, you know, your chapters and your parts and things like that.
Well, one of the things that I didn't do a very good job here of showing the hierarchy of this, what you've done with this whiteboard and these parts and the pieces out here, but these are all hierarchical, and they fit into the next one above. And what I love about this is that you started with the is this the macro world? And then we move into the micro world. When you get down into the bullet points, you're actually talking about sentences, you know? So you go from your entire 80,000 page or word book, if you want to, down to 10 words. And that becomes the structure. And one of the things I love about breaking books and writing down into those pieces is it's so easy to see the end, which is the book, but then you break it down into pieces. This, by the way, is project management as well. And that's the way you manage projects, is you start with a big concept that you're going to complete, and then you go all the way through the task, and you say, okay, to make this happen, what has to happen next? And you get those five steps. Then you look at each one of those five steps and what has to happen to make this step work, and then you break that down into five steps. And so that's you've done that basically with writing your book and breaking it down into these structures.
Right, and then the next step after you have that is to decide which chapter you want to write first.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in nonfiction, there is no reason you can't start in the middle.
Right, okay.
I do that a lot. So what I do is I start my cannibalization first. So after I've decided, you know, to decide where to start, this is one of the ways I decide where to start, is I look at my existing material, and this is actually my process for that. So I'll look at what I already have that I can repurpose, blog posts. I'm going to let David type here because this is important information. So of your existing material, blog posts, articles, don't forget all those guest posts you've done. I keep my blog posts in a separate folder than my guest posts, and I actually repurpose several things that I've written as guest posts. Teleseminars, transcripts, webinars. I even repurposed a webinar that I did for Felicia's group. She had a special VIP mastermind group, and I did a presentation on how to turn your speech into a book. And I repurposed that webinar straight from the PowerPoints into how to turn your speech into a book ebook.
Okay.
So you can use your PowerPoints. Your PowerPoints already have bullet points on them and slides, and that's such an easy way to write a book. So make sure you know, if you have PowerPoints, those are awesome. If you've ever taught at NAMS, you have PowerPoints.
That's right. You do. Okay, so... we're getting questions about niche. Did we leave anything out?
Yeah, that's most of it for existing material. So that all goes under existing material. And then the next place that I look is my research.
Okay.
So I'll go start my research like we already talked about above, so you've already got that down. And then after that, I'll just scroll through my chapter ideas or look at my mind map and go, I'm really feeling this one. I got the most information in my head for it. I've already researched it. I'm just going to sit down and write it. And then while I'm writing it, sometimes I get another idea. And what I'll do first when I get another idea while I'm writing, especially because this goes back to your when is it done thing. If I'm getting an idea while I'm writing, I will just run down to another chapter that I know where it goes. Like this is easy to do in Scrivener software, but I also use Apple Pages for it because you can see all your pages on the left in Apple Pages. So I'll just jot down on the note somewhere where that chapter is in your mind map or wherever that idea. And that idea can become a bullet point or whatever, but that way I don't lose it and I can still stay focused on the chapter that I'm writing.
Okay. Anything else in this section? Decide where to write first?
Nope.
Okay. Now I'm going to come back over here. We need to come back to an area here where we have a start. We have the research. Did we talk about the way we approach this is I've got an idea and I want to do research on that idea. What if I'm looking for ideas and I want to find niches that I want to work in?
Well, first, try not to work in a niche that you're not already known for. If you already have a business, if you already do something, if you already know something, start there.
It's write about what you know, basically.
Yeah, write about what you know. If you are trying to write about stuff you don't know, you are going to just increase your frustration.
Okay.
So if you haven't decided what you want to do in your business yet or in your life, then get a coach and start there.
Okay.
Because you really shouldn't start publishing on Kindle, especially a series, until you know that's what you want to be known for. Because you will. It will stick.
So really, when, before you're even doing niche research, what you're doing is what you're suggesting, I think, is doing an assessment.
Yes.
Who you are and what you want to do.
Yeah, exactly. It's like business 101.
Yeah.
Writing the Kindle book is more in business 201. Great marketing tool, you know, great way to get leads, great way to be known with credibility. Not really a great thing to just start out and do a bunch of different stuff and it's going to be hit or miss.
So talk about that a little bit more, because you're going to have a lot of people who are brand new to business, brand new to the online world, and they think, oh, I need to start writing Kindle books. Is that true?
No.
Okay.
No, please don't start writing Kindle books until you at least have a, not, you don't have to have an email list, but at least have a blog where you've written a few articles that are related to each other, you know, or done a couple teleseminars or something in your business to start to not only get a following, but there's a lot of people teaching that you should go start publishing on Kindle to build your list. And while that is partially true, if nobody knows to go get your Kindle book to begin with, then nobody's going to buy it and your list isn't going to be built because they're not going to recommend it to their friends.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, take your assessment and decide where you want to start first and then take action on it, because I don't want you to get hung up in deciding where you want to start with your business either. You take action and get a coach, get somebody to help you through that process and who won't put up with your excuses, because this actually happens a lot in the NAMS 100 rooms. When I've been sitting in there, you know, hanging out with my buddies, because we like to support each other, you know, the instructors
mm-hmm.
do, I'll hear people and I'll see people that are like, they've taken this class for the third year in a row,
mm-hmm.
and they're still nowhere because they won't invest in themselves and get a coach to help get them to that next point of making a decision. And you know what? Until you are, until the pain of staying the same is more than the pain of change, you won't make a change.
Right, right. So I want to come back to this niche piece of it, because I think deciding on a niche is kind of key to everything you do in online business.
Yes.
And it's even before you start writing, as we've said, before you start writing your book. So the best way to start writing your Kindle book may be to start writing blog posts.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
It'll make writing your Kindle book so easy. Most of the Kindle books in my series were taken from my blog posts, and I'm not talking about a bunch of blog posts stuck together into a Kindle book. I only maybe have 25% of each book as repurposed content like that. I took a lot of my blog posts that I had already said, here's how to market your book online. Step one, set up a website. Step two, get on social media. And I'm saying this one because this is a book I wrote last week. Step three, get something else set up online. You know, I had all these different online things. Well, the step one was just get a website. I recommend WordPress. That's all the bullet point was. So what I did was I took that step one, get a website, and I turned it into a full chapter. And how to market your book online became one part of the Market Your Book Overall ebook. So have a blog, write a few related articles, and always use, if you're writing nonfiction, always use step-by-steps because people love that. They eat up how-to stuff like there is no tomorrow. And it doesn't mean they can do it. They just like to read about it.
Sure.
They love step-by-steps and they love ninja tricks. In fact, I with this last ebook, I started putting a picture of a ninja in each where each ninja tip was or a ninja trick so that people could see it.
Mm-hmm.
They could find the ninja tricks really easy. So ninja tips are awesome. I call them ninja tricks. But
so this is like the gold in your book, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you identify something as a ninja tip, this means you're getting this pretty much where other people are not giving you this. This is your personal experience, what works.
Yes.
This is what separates you from the big boys.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff in my books, people will say in the reviews, I heard about all this before, and they still give me a 5-star review because one or two of those ninja tips stick out. They're like, I never thought about that before. Like, for example, in the Kindle in 30 Facebook group right now, it's hopping. We already have people selling each other's ebooks in there. They don't even know each other. It's great.
Yeah.
One of the gals had put her your ebook on a countdown promotion, which is a new thing that Kindle just offered. But they only have it available to the U.S. right now. And she didn't know that. In fact, I didn't know that either. They didn't say. They just said, hey, try our new countdown thing. And they let all countries set it up. But they, what they don't tell you is you have to be in the U.S. to see the special countdown price. Mm-hmm. So she's in Canada. And she's stuck. She's like, well, how do I put my book on sale for people in Canada? I want to be able to market it up here. And so I told her, I said, well, here's one of my ninja tips. Just take your book listing and change the price on it temporarily overall, or just change the Canadian price because you can do them individually, and then tell your friends it's on sale for a day or two, and then go back in and change it again. Now, it takes about 12 hours to update, and it'll take another 12 hours to update after you change it again, so you can't guarantee when the price is going to change, but you can guarantee it is going to change. And that way you can still run it on sale. And she's like, oh, my gosh, I never thought of that before. Well, that's something that's my own personal experience that I do. I've done it frequently for myself and my clients. And it's actually the only way you used to be able to do it. It's just people didn't even think about putting their book on sale. They just would change their price permanently, you know, raise it or lower it, however, which is really cool because with Kindle you can do that pretty easy.
Okay, is there anything else here on the niche determination that we need to? I guess when you really do start looking at your niche, there's a niche competition that you want to look at. There are niche. I know there are tools out there. I own a couple of tools that you can actually go out and do a search on Kindle to see what the hottest niches are and those kind of things. So do you have any tips about getting into a market that you think is going to be a good paying market?
Well, a good paying market doesn't pay because of the topic. They pay because of the expert behind the topic. So if you're not establishing yourself as an expert in other ways first, it's going to be really, really hard. So like, let's say you want to write a weight loss book. In fact, I have a pen name that writes raw food books, raw food cookbooks. I've got three of them out, and they sell okay. Part of that's because it's under pen name, so I can't market it as myself and get as much, you know, I can recommend it and say, hey, go buy this book by Joy, who happens to be me. A few people know it's me. Most people don't who buy it. And that's really hard to do because the raw food market is like gluten-free was a couple years ago, so it's still really hot. However, it's not something people are just going to search for and find if they don't already know the name behind it and the name doesn't have much experience. So if you want to break into like the health and wellness industry or something like that, start with getting some credibility under your belt in other ways. You know, have an authority website, look like the expert. Little ninja trick here, predate your posts if your website's brand new so it looks like you've been there a while. I did that with Fader last year. She predated a bunch of information and posts back, you know, evergreen style posts back about 2 years. And she was called by About.com to be one of their expert writers because her website looks so good. So, you know, you can predate and have stuff. I predated, I've been calling it Kindle Monday, and I predated Kindle Wednesday's post Kindle Monday this week so people don't know I actually released it on Wednesday. So, you know, it's still this week, but I wanted to keep the Kindle Monday idea that people are looking for, you know, there and in front of their minds. Yeah, those are some ways you can, you know, become the expert. The market's not going to buy a book. A lot of times I'm finding people who are being taught this method of, oh, just go see what's selling on Kindle and then write about that. And then they're bummed because their books aren't selling. Well, they're not selling because nobody cares. Nobody knows you. They need to know you first. They need to know, like, and trust you. You know, think about your own buying habits. How many times have you bought a book because you met the author? How many times did you buy a book because a friend said, oh, you would really enjoy this book, you need to go get it? And you'd never heard of the author before, but you got it on a recommendation. And how many times did you just go onto Amazon and say, I want to buy a book today. I think I'll buy that one. Just a total random.
Not very often. Not very often.
Most of the books I buy are recommended by other people or authors that I meet in person.
Well, the other thing is that if I'm looking at books, and the weight loss, health, and fitness is a good example. If I'm looking at books and I see something by somebody I don't know, and Dr. Oz, you know, who are you gonna buy from?
Exactly. I mean, it's really great to be in a hot niche with competition because it means the books are selling. It's really good to be there. But if you are a small business coach, don't write health and wellness books under your own name just because you can. If you haven't gone through, like I'm using my pen name uses my weight loss story to be a credibility point to her own ebooks. So I have that in the bio, I think, about how I lost 50 pounds on the raw food, mostly raw food diet, mm-hmm. over a period of 6 months, which is, you know, a little under 10 pounds a month is pretty darn good for most weight loss industry.
Oh, yeah.
So people look at that and go, and she kept it off? Yeah, I want some of that. So I'm able to use that existing credibility by my story and my personal experience. If you have zero personal experience in it, then consider writing it under a pen name if you do want to write about it. And just keep in mind, writing under a pen name involves a little bit of tricky marketing and some self-serving recommendations from your real name.
Talk about that a second. Not the self-serving recommendations, but the tricky marketing.
Well, it's really hard to market somebody who doesn't exist. It's very, very hard. And it's also hard to switch niches very drastically. So it's hard for someone who writes romance novels to break into the business how-to market,
mm-hmm.
because they're already known. Traditional publishers have known this for years. Almost all traditional publishing contracts say, if you write in this genre, you're stuck to that genre for the rest of your life. You can't ever write anything else. I have one member in the Kindle Challenge group who's going through this right now. She's with a traditional publisher, and they said she can only publish other stuff, even related content, unless it's under her pen name. It's the only way she can do it.
So, you know, Richard Bachman was Stephen King's pen name. And I always wondered, why did he reveal that he had a pen name of Richard Bachman? And I guarantee,
because he wanted people to go buy it.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I was going to say, too.
Because who's going to buy a book by Richard Bachman unless
right.
Stephen King says, by the way, that's mine. Most of my Easy and Raw cookbooks that I have sold are from people that I told them it's me behind it.
Yeah.
It's really hard to keep those identities separate.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see. This is good information. I think we're doing a great job here, and I'd love to hear from you guys if you are getting good information. This is giving you the kind of depth that you need. We're going to get into a lot more of the nuts and bolts of doing. Somebody asked, what's this afternoon's workshop going to be about, the two-hour session we're doing later today? That's going to be on the implementation piece of this whole deal and how we take what we're learning today and actually molding it into creating our own Kindle books. And it may be Kindle, first Kindle book. It may be how to build your plan, how to get started writing. It may be doing an outline. It may be those kind of things. We'll see how this shakes out today. So far, I think we're getting pretty good information here. And if you agree, type it in the chat box here. We want a little validation. We're headed in the right direction. If you have questions, pop it in here too. Okay? Let's see. Now, Kristen, I'm gonna keep you as long as I can keep you, so you have to tell me.
I actually blocked out until like 1 o'clock.
Holy moly. That's great.
So
good.
I can actually go even probably a little later if you want me to, as long as I might have to take a potty break at some point. But
well, I think we're actually going to end at 11:30 my time, 12:30 your time. But I want to get to some Q&A, and we'll see how that goes as well. But I wanted to jump into we've covered a lot here so far. We've covered Kindle as passive income. We've covered how to get started. We've got a lot of information in the how to get started area. So now let's talk about these guys specifically. And I want you guys to write in your question box here. The way that we build these workshops is that we use our six-step system. The six-step system is dream, prototype, test, execute, feedback, and improve. And the dream piece is all about what do you want to happen in your business life from this perspective. So it's goals, it's vision, it's all of that. So type in here what you would like to see happen. What are your desires? What would you like to see happen in your Kindle publishing? And if you want to publish Kindle at all, in this question box, let's get some input here. Now, from your perspective, Kristen, I want you to tell us what you think people should, if they want to publish Kindle, what should be their expectations? What should be their goals in the publishing world? for Kindle?
Well, realistically, your expectation should not be making $100,000 a month. Even $10,000 a month is not going to happen overnight. Writing on Kindle is just like starting a baby business. It takes a lot of work. It's not something that you're just going to get rich quick on. You know, it's not an easy button. It's easy, but it's not an easy button to cash. It's a great way to start building passive income, but if you just write one Kindle book and stick it up there and hope it's going to sell, you might sell 75 copies, which is the average for any self-published book. And that's usually your contact list. You know, most people's contact list in their phone of friends and family that are hopefully going to support them. So that's the realistic downside of it. The upside of expectations is expect things to surprise you. When I was writing the Office Quick Guide series, and which I'm still doing, I've got the two left to write, the one book, the Turning Your Speech into a Book, that one surprised me. I did not expect it because it's such a niche. You know, I didn't expect it to hit the Amazon bestseller list in the top 10. I was like, yeah, I'm not even paying attention. I was going through my stats one day just curious, and I was like, I wonder how this was doing. And what I did was, like, if you have Amazon Author Central and you log in, which I highly recommend you get an Author Central account, it's free, you log in there, it'll show you your overall Amazon stats. So it'll show you, like mine will say number, it said number 16,000 something in all Kindle books. I was like, oh, that's actually pretty good since most ebooks are in the millions. I'm like, wow, 16,000. I wonder what the rating is. So I clicked through and I looked for its actual rating in categories, and lo and behold, it was number 12 in its category. In one category, it was actually rating in the top 100 in three categories. So I was like, okay, that's a surprise. And I went back to Facebook, which is where the bulk of my community hangs out, and I said, hey guys, this is really cool. Let's see if we can get it in the top 10. And I posted one post and said, share this. People shared it like crazy because apparently a lot of speakers are out there that want to turn their speeches into books. I had no idea. Who knew? That ebook got up to, I think it was like number 6 or number 4 that day. And then yesterday, I was looking at one of my other ebooks, and I took a screen, I think it's the one about how to edit your book, and it was at number 4. And I was like, oh, that's cool. So when you write a full series of ebooks and you cross-link them and reference each one, like I'll write a chapter and say, I go a lot more in-depth on this particular strategy in this ebook with an embedded link to your book on Amazon, then you're going to start seeing cross-promotion, cross-sales, and you're going to be surprised by how many people not only will buy your book before it even hits, before you announce it. I had one of my ebooks got in the top 100 before I even announced it, like that day, because I have several people searching Amazon every day for my name to see if there's anything new. And, you know, this actually goes back to quality of your content. If all you're doing is publishing a transcript of something, it's not going to sell as well. If you've taken the time to edit it, to make it useful, to put a lot of step-by-steps in there and how-to information and ninja tricks, that kind of stuff is going to sell because people are going to talk about it.
Okay. So I heard a lot of stuff there.
Yeah, there was a lot.
There was a lot of stuff there. So we want to get our expectations set realistically. Don't shoot for $10,000 per month, especially if you've got one book. Shoot for consistency is what you were saying.
Yes.
Okay.
Consistency will result eventually in that $10,000 a month.
Okay. It's not an easy button to cash. One book won't make you an empire. And then expect to be surprised, I heard, which is really good because you gave us good examples about that. One book or full series is a decision that you have to make going into this. This will probably go back to your niche thing. If you're doing a series, you're talking about cross-linking and internal marketing and letting Amazon do marketing for you when you're doing the cross-linking and the selling, right?
Yep.
Talk about the Amazon marketing.
There's more to it than just cross-linking. In fact, this is something I'm going to teach in depth because everybody wants to know how to get Amazon to email for you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to teach that in depth in the Kindle in 30 challenge. But just for now, the Amazon does a lot of marketing for you. They have the customers who bought this also bought at the bottom. If you look at any of my ebooks, pretty much most of the recommended books are mine. because I have 16 of them or 15 of them out now, all in the same series. And a lot of people will buy more than one, so Amazon tracks that. They also will they'll email out an email if you have a lot of people buying the same books, and they'll be like, you might also be interested in this based on – the thing with emails is it's based on their your own buying history. And so if you buy books all across genres, you're going to get an email with all sorts of weirdness in it. You know, it's not going to be very targeted. You're not going to get all business books or author books. But Amazon also has ways that you can advertise on their site, which is a good way to get a boost. It's pay-per-click, and it's targeted. So you can actually target people who are buying similar books to yours, which is a great thing to do. Amazon doesn't do a lot of other marketing for you other than offer some free tools like Author Central, which I can get into that a little bit more in depth. I have a whole chapter on Author Central in my book marketing ebook that went live.
But the thing that Amazon does, I think, is brilliant, is that customer who bought also bought.
Yes. That's the number one way that most people who teach Amazon marketing your book, that's all they talk about.
Right.
Because that is really the only way Amazon actually markets your book for you.
Right.
And it's powerful. I have bought a lot of stuff because of that.
Well, they've got the best upselling system I've ever seen in my life. I mean,
it's
amazing what they do. So let's go back to the dreaming part of this. So let's see. We've got some responses here. Let me see if I can pull a couple out to see what people are saying. And this will give us some idea of where to head here. John says, my goal is steady, reliable income stream through Kindle books, and he's looking at $5,000 a month is what he'd like to hit.
I have a suggestion for him.
Okay. Go ahead.
Create two things in your Kindle books. First of all, write a series, at least five. Well, I would say at least 7 to 8 books in your series, because that's when you're really going to start seeing some traction. And, I make usually double this every month because of this method. So 7 to 8 Kindle books, all related to each other, all under the same series name. Then while you're writing those, after your introduction, include a free opt-in offer. And just make it something easy, like I have jumpstartmybook.com, so I actually have that spelled out with a link, and people can go there to download. So easy domain name, not mydomain.com/free-gift/Kindle.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Right.
So make it its own domain name. Then at the end of your book and throughout your book, where it's appropriate, don't make it sound like your whole book is one big advertisement, but where it's appropriate, mention a couple of other products or services that you offer. So if you don't have products or services yet, you need to develop those, because that's really where the money is going to come from. $5,000 a month in Kindle book sales alone usually doesn't happen. And that's because you're only making, like, say it's a 99-cent Kindle book, you're making 35 cents or 33 cents per copy. That's a lot of books you have to sell. That's a lot of people buying books. So mention a couple of products and services, and make sure your copy is good on those. Revise it if you're not getting sales. Hire a sales copywriter if you're not getting sales. I've done both.
So include your free opt-in offer. Where do you put that?
I put that right after the introduction. That way people are more guaranteed to see it. And where it makes sense in your book, you can mention it again. So you can get people while they're reading as well. Also, mention your other series ebooks throughout. So wherever it makes sense. In my marketing ebook, I'm still kind of baffled by this. People keep asking me to write a book on marketing, and I'm like, I did. I wrote 5 of them. But they're titled something different, like how to engage your fan base and you know, how to make money with your 90s and how to be a bestseller, all those. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I've already written all this. So what I did this time in my introduction, because Amazon, this is another way they actually market for you, Amazon has the search inside feature. And so they almost always show your introduction for sure. Is going to show up there. So in my introduction, with live links linking back to their listings on Amazon, I put a quick summary of the 5 other ebooks that I've already written about book marketing. And so that means people who look at the search inside, who don't even buy that ebook, are probably going to buy at least one or two of my other ones.
Okay, I'm writing this down. Good stuff. Okay, so where would you not put your opt-in box? Is there a place where you would not put it?
Yeah, don't put it at the very, very beginning of your book, before the table of contents. Because the way that Kindle algorithms work, most Kindles don't even show that when you first open an ebook. Most of them start with the first thing in the table of contents, which is like the introduction or chapter one.
Okay.
Don't put it at the very, very, very end, because you should reserve that space. If people read all the way to the end, you've probably earned their trust. That's where you need to put your paid product. And don't put too many advertisements there at once, just one. You know, there's some of my ebooks, I'm like, oh, I don't know which of my products I should advertise at the end. Well, the books about book marketing advertise my market my book product that I have. And books that are about writing, or some of them, the ones about like procrastination stuff, market my coaching services. So I change them up. And when I do go back through and re-edit all of them, because obviously you can't cross-link your ebooks if they're not written and published yet, because you don't have a link to point people to. Mm-hmm. So the more ebooks I write, the more ebooks I sell, just because I have a lot more cross-linking in my later ebooks because I have more I can link. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do is go back and revise from the very beginning after I'm done with the last Kindle book in the series, and I'm going to go all the way back through, read them, and insert links where it makes sense to my other ebooks. Like, oh, you can learn a lot more about this strategy in the Author's Quick Guide to blah, blah, blah. That way, my cross-linking will literally, like, triple overnight, which will exponentially increase my sales from what I've been seeing already.
Okay. I like that phrase, more books, more money.
I like that, too. It's true.
Yep. Okay, so that's good. Now this is strategy for getting 5K a month. And one thing I didn't put on here is that 5K strictly from the books is tough, but 5K from other services that you recommend is not.
No, that's easy. Yeah. I actually had one ebook that when it went live, every ebook that I sold, I was tracking it in Kindle, I sold one of my products too. I was making $27 per ebook. And it was a 99-cent Kindle book.
Wow. That's great stat right
That's
there.
That's pretty good return on investment right there. Now, of course, that number's dropped because it's later and more people buy more books. But selling your products is actually fairly easy. And if you really want to make 20K a month, then put together something like a boot camp or a challenge or some sort of a live event. It can be virtual, but you use your Kindle books to boost credibility in your field to make you the expert so that people will go sign up for that.
Okay, so I want to get a couple other people their questions in here as well. So that was our 5K for John. John, I hope that was helpful to you. I think there's some good stuff there. Let's see. Tara says, I'd like to build passive income but use it as a lead generator for my consulting. I think we've covered a lot of that with some of these techniques, but do you have something specific for consulting leads?
Consulting. There's two ways to go about it. I use timetrade.com, which unfortunately they do not have an affiliate program otherwise.
Yeah, right. I understand.
I already be an affiliate of them. Timetrade.com is an automatic scheduling system that links back to your Google Calendar so you can keep everything straight and you can mark off the times you have available. And you can offer to people as a free gift for buying your Kindle book to sign up for a free 15-minute consult session. Now, that works great until you start to get a lot of traction. And then your time is going to be just monopolized. So you can also host a call once a month. And it can be like a live Q&A free call, which would be basically the same thing, but they're not scheduling it through Timetrade.
Well, the other thing about time trade, though, is that you can actually set up a certain amount of, you can give 8 slots, let's say, a week if you wanted, you know.
Yeah, you can specify how many slots so you're not overbooked. Mm-hmm. I don't do that because I also use those for, you know, other people who want to talk to me.
Right.
But doing a live Q&A call is a great way to do it, too, where you have them go sign up for an email list to get the next notification as to when the next free call is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you schedule that whenever you want, send out an email to that whole list, and anybody who was on it before or on it now, you know, new people can go sign up. Now, the problem with that is if you run it too long, you're going to end up group coaching for free.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would do is anyone who has signed up for coaching or seems to be a dead lead, like I use AWeber and David uses AWeber, and in AWeber, you can tell AWeber when someone signs up for this list, in other words, they become a coaching or consulting client, then they're automatically taken off of my Q&A call list.
Right.
And that way they don't get the free calls anymore. So that can be automated, which is pretty cool.
Okay. Let's see. So now I want to make clear, though, that you have what we're talking about is having a link in your Kindle book back to all of these opportunities for people to become leads for you. And once you've got them in your system on an opt-in, you can
follow up on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
And autoresponder them and all that. But Kindle is an awesome way to generate leads. Now, the way I generate leads is through a survey because I don't want to be paying, I've been there, done that, paid for thousands of people on my list who weren't my target market.
Right.
Just because they wanted to go sign up for some free thing that I had. So now they can either get a specific targeted product. My titles ebook, I created a titles product for that people actually have purchased, and it's cheap, it's like $7, but I give it away for free with the coupon code. So that gets them in my system as a buyer, even though they used a coupon code.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's that targeted, you know, they're going straight for that template, then I know they're probably going to be a good fit for stuff further on.
Sure, sure. So let's see. I wanted to look at this consulting leads thing for Tara. Tara, I think this was good information for you as well. Let's see. Is there anything else off of this that we need to add on for the generating leads? You talked about 99-cent books. Do you do any you can do free days.
Yep.
You can raise your prices. Is 99-cent your suggested price for the lead generation
ebooks?
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, and I don't recommend that lead generating ebooks be more than 10,000 words.
Okay.
They're quick little snippets that answer a question your audience really, really wants. Like my lead generating ebook on pricing your book, that's the reason why I wrote that. Because everybody wants to know how to price their book, and I get a lot of leads from that. Now, my leads do come through my survey, so not all the people who actually click through end up on my list, which is totally fine with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And tell people why that's fine.
It's fine because not only do I, like I said before, I don't want to be paying for people who are never going to buy anyway, because a member or a Weber makes you pay for list size, but I actually get to review each and every one of those surveys,
mm-hmm.
and if they're a hot lead and the questions that they answer are in line with answers of someone that I want to work with, we contact them for that free consult.
Okay.
So it's another thing that I put that in place last year when I started getting overloaded with free consults and not enough people actually buying. They just wanted to pick my brain.
Okay.
So now I make them work for my brain.
So basically, you're pre-qualifying people and making sure that you get the right people on that list.
Yep.
Okay. So there's another tip, Tara, that you may want to not just have a straight to your opt-in, but a straight to a qualifier. So you make people jump through a hoop to sign up.
Yep. It can be a quick survey. Mine's like 4 or 5 questions.
Mm-hmm.
It can be an assessment. It can be something fun. I'm working with a programmer right now on creating a custom plugin to make an assessment, which is similar to the plugin that you use for NAMS.
Oh, on the Q&A?
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, it's similar to that.
Okay. And on the lead generator book too, you said it should be no larger than 10,000 words.
Yeah,
max.
You don't want to give away the farm.
And so when you write a lead generator book, it is a lead generator book from conception.
Yes. Yeah, it's not. I had several books on my list that were supposed to be lead generating books, and it ended up being a lot bigger. And so I changed them so they're not, I mean, every one of my ebooks has a lead generator in it. So don't get me wrong, I'm using them all for that. Mm-hmm. But their primary purpose is not just lead generation.
Okay. Okay. Good. Good. So let's see if we've got somebody else here that has a question about these, that they're looking at what they want to do. We've got a lot of questions in here. I've got to scroll through and figure this out. Okay, so Mary says, that was Tara on the consulting leads. I hope that was helpful, Tara. I think you got some good info there.
Tara's in the challenge, too. Woohoo!
Excellent. And Mary says, my 2014 goal is to get my first Kindle book up and published in January. New to the Kindle market, any tips on where newbies often trip up?
Newbies trip up mostly in the perfectionism stage, I think.
Okay.
So go back and review those notes because that's going to be your biggest hoop.
And by the way, you guys will get this mind map as part of the package as well. So you can open it up in mind map. You'll get an HTML version of it, and you'll get a Word document version of it, which is all collapsible.
Ooh, can I get that?
Of course.
Because you know what I'm going to do with it. This is great input to go into a Kindle book.
Well, it'll be a race to see who can get it up there first, right?
Well, you're welcome to, you know, take the transcription and throw it up as a Kindle book.
Hey,
go for it.
Speaking of that, I'll make a deal with you. Let's transcribe this whole thing. You and I do a co-author Kindle book.
That sounds awesome. Let's do it.
So see, you guys have just
see how easy that was,
venture.
Guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Perfect.
Nicole Dean beat out Kerry Wilkerson in Google results by doing that.
Is that right?
For Kerry's website.
No
People
kidding.
Searching for Kerry Wilkerson's name. Nicole Dean has the screenshots to prove it. She beat her out, all
wow.
her websites, because what she did was she started a series, and it was her podcast. And she interviewed people on her podcast, transcribed them, threw them up on Kindle as a transcription, not as a full-fledged ebook, mm-hmm. but just as a transcription, sells them for 99 cents, gives them away for free all the time, runs different free promotions. And Amazon absolutely loves that because she puts her name as the author and the co-author, the expert that she interviewed. So most of these experts, when you search for their names, you're going to see Nicole Dean's name right there next to them, usually in the top five results. With Kerry's, she beat out her own website. That's
wow.
awesome.
That's great.
And I think that was a few weeks after she did it. So that's really cool because Kerry had years and years and years of information.
Okay, so since Kindle doesn't have pages, oh, we've answered this question already. Good. Since Kindle doesn't have pages, how many words minimum does it take to have a real book, Gayla is asking. But that's by throwing in real book there, I'm not sure that I'm confused about that.
Kindle's minimum is 2,500 words. I'd consider that a brochure or a really long article.
Yep.
So I wouldn't – I mean, my minimum is 4,000 words, and that's just because I was answering one question.
Right.
That didn't really fit in any other books that I would put it in. Most of my lead generators are 6,000 to 10,000, and then the ones that I sell for more that have a lot more strategies in them are 10 to 20.
Okay. And John says, doesn't Amazon take 70% of the 99-cent books? Shouldn't you
yes.
aim for 299-plus books to get the better commission?
Yes. And to get better leads. I have several lead generators that are $2.99, and I get much better qualified leads because the people going after the 99-cent books have no concept of value.
Right, right.
They don't realize what they're getting.
Okay, so that's a contradiction. You said earlier that your lead gen books were 99 cents.
Yeah, I have both.
Okay.
If they're really, really short, like my pricing book, or about 6,000 words, I'll do it at 99 cents.
Okay.
If they're a little longer and they're not quite full-fledged books, like I consider a book, then they're $2.99.
Okay.
Just avoid $1.99 and play with the price. There's no magic to pricing. Mm-hmm. There really isn't. There's no real formula.
Well, your goal is always return, right? Not necessarily
yeah.
price. So you always want to see what the return is. If you price it at $6.99 and you make more money with the fewer sales, then you definitely want to do $6.99.
Exactly.
Okay. John says, what's an opt-in box? Is it a link or a regular opt-in box in your Kindle book?
It's a link, and okay. it takes them to a page on my website. With enhanced ebooks, you can do opt-in boxes right in there, but here's the thing. They're calling them enhanced ebooks and they're iPad apps. They're not ebooks. They haven't quite gotten that far yet.
I'm sorry, say that again?
There's a method called Enhanced eBooks, which puts an OptiBox right in your eBook. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not an eBook. You don't buy it in the Kindle store. It's an iPad app.
Okay.
Or an Android app. So they have to actually download the app to their phone and purchase the app. I have a Nancy Drew book that way on my iPad. So keep that in mind. They're working on the technology right now. There's been a lot of buzz about it, but Enhanced eBooks are not really eBooks.
Okay.
Not yet. It'd be awesome.
And that's a different animal, really, right?
That's a whole different animal. I don't even do that yet because there's too many programming issues with it.
Okay, and Tara is asking, is your survey for your lead generators in the book, or do they link to the survey?
No, it links on my website.
Okay.
Less work.
Right. Does each lead gen book, this is for Maria, does each lead gen book go to a separate website for a separate product or service, or just one website for all?
I don't recommend doing one website for all when you're doing as many ebooks as I am, because what I've noticed is I got a really great influx of good leads right off the bat, and then I have a lot of repeat buyers, and so they're skipping that page. So what I did was I created a new lead gen with that Kindle template. So if you go buy the Titles ebook, you'll get the template for free, and you'll have to pay me the $7 for it, like some people still do.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a different lead gen, which is giving me a whole different list to work with. So I wouldn't necessarily do all of them different because I think that's too much work. I mean, I'm talking about having 20 ebooks by the end of January, so that's different.
Right. And actually, Maria brings that up again. How do you manage all those websites? You're really talking about landing pages, right?
Yeah, it's the same website. I learned that when I got hacked. I combined all my landing pages onto my one main domain name, and then I just redirected the URLs that I'd already bought.
Yeah, and the reason you do that is so you can maintain in one place.
Yeah, because it's so much better for maintenance, for time, and for security when you get hacked to have to move websites.
But one of the things about having different landing pages is, from testing perspective as well, that each landing page can be personalized and optimized easily for the customer who's coming from a specific book, correctly? Correct?
Yes.
And that's when you can talk to people directly. This is not Kindle book theory. This is landing page theory. When you can talk to people about specifically because they answered a question or they're looking for a solution, and you know where they're coming from, you can optimize your landing page to have that discussion start immediately. That's the point of a good landing page. Okay. Let's see. Gayla says, Nicole's podcasts aren't books, they're transcriptions. Explain how you differentiate.
Right.
Do you still need to meet the 2,500 word minimum?
Yes, you still need to meet that minimum. A transcription is just transcribed from an audio. So it would say, he said, she said, he said, she said, he said, she said. So the transcription of this, that if you're looking at the Kindle book right now, you're reading it, it says, David, Kristen, David, Kristen, David, Kristen. And their editing is not good because it's just a straight-up transcription. So there might be ums and ahs taken out, but beyond that, double clutches, which are sentences started over again, and commas aren't necessarily in the right place, so it's a little bit harder to read.
But and often mistakes are there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you present it as an e-book and you tell people, go buy my book, they're going to expect a book written from scratch, and their brains are not going to interpret it as they're reading audio.
Right.
If you say it's a transcription and this is a transcribed interview with so-and-so, then their brains go click and something magical happens inside the head that says, okay, I can understand it now. So my story I tell all the time about this, which a couple of you have heard already, especially I think Tara has heard it, is the book Awareness I gotta look up the author, but really great book. Therese Barbie told me to download it and read it. I got about it's a great book, and I got a third of the way through it. I still, to this day, have not finished it because I can't. I can't read it because, you know, Therese listens to audiobooks, and it was a straight transcription. But it wasn't presented that way. It took me about 25% of the ebook to figure out why I was having such a hard time reading it. I just couldn't grasp the concepts he was talking about because it was like someone was talking. So your brains interpret audio and transcribed audio differently than they interpret written words.
Okay.
That's the main difference. And transcriptions are not worth as much because there's not as much work that goes into putting them up on Kindle.
Now, there's a couple of things that we're going to step into the prototyping of this whole thing and how to actually format, how to build a book, basically, in the last 20 to 30 minutes we got going here. And then we're going to talk about testing somehow, and we're going to try to do this quickly, too. So when you start building your Kindle book, you use, I know you use, you covered this in your live training with us, you use a programmer to do your formatting in many cases, correct?
Yes, in pretty much all cases now, because I have a lot of bullet points and a lot of images, which complicates the code. And so I actually outsource it to a hand coder who programs it from scratch to make sure that it looks good. You can use what we call a meat grinder system, like Kinstant is my favorite one. I've been with them since they were in beta testing stage, so they're awesome. They have something, they have a checkbox on their formatter that says try to clean up bullet points, because they know there's no such thing as a Kindle meat grinder that can actually do it really well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, theirs does it the best I've seen yet. And there's a lot of meat grinders on the market. I've used a lot of them. Kinstant is the best. So if you have an affiliate link for that, David.
I do somewhere. I'll get it in here later when people get this mind map. So the Kinstant is the one that you recommend, but that's only for simple ebooks, right?
Yes, that's for simple. So like fiction, stories, which could be allegorical nonfiction, something that's not got a lot of step-by-steps and how-to in it. And I've done the code formatting, guys, and I do not want to get another migraine. So I'm not going to teach you how to do that. If you want to learn that, you can get David's affiliate link to self-publish on Kindle, or you can sign up for the challenge and you'll get self-publish on Kindle free because we just added it as a bonus last week.
Oh, awesome. Great.
That's a $97 product.
Good. Okay. Now, we've written the book. We've got the book ready to go. We've got it in a Word document, let's say. Or maybe even an open office document. In either case, you end up with a doc file.
Right.
So you've got all of your links coded in it. You've got all of your pictures in the right spot that you want them in it. Do you need to start writing your book from the beginning with Kindle as your ultimate goal because of formatting issues?
No. You can still have your ultimate goal be print. We do a lot of print books programmed by hand. It's the only way to make them look nice and clean and keep the branding intact. But we do a lot of conversion of print books from the print PDF file into Kindle format, and they look absolutely stunning. So there's no reason you can't do a print book first.
Okay. I think in this case, what if you want to do Kindle book first?
If you want to do the Kindle book first, that's a great way to test your market. So just use the doc file. With Kinstant, you have to upload a doc file. With the complex formatting with a programmer, they prefer a PDF, and that's because they want to see how you have things laid out.
Okay.
And a lot of times different versions of Word mess that up.
Okay. And you said with a programmer, they prefer PDF.
Mm-hmm. We've done Word docs before, and I will tell you they end up looking different than what the author sent because there's no guarantee with all the versions of Word out there.
Sure. Sure. Speaking of that, is there a version of Word that does work better when you're formatting to Kindle?
Not that I know of. I mean, I use .doc or .docx.
Okay.
And I always stay with the latest of whatever program, so I have Mac version 2011.
Okay. And talk a little bit about the process of getting it from your Word document into the Kindle book format. Oh, you've
my process?
Your process is to call somebody?
Yeah, I create a PDF from from Word, and I hit the email button to my programmer who's on my team, and I say, go format this. And
okay, but
usually
to that
within 24 hours, he sends me back a MOBI file.
But to that point, you've already done the formatting. If you sent a PDF, you could have done the formatting, which would
include
all your headlines,
like
all that.
Oh, formatting inside Word.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. So what I do, I use Apple Pages now, but it's basically, it's a similar program to Word. Mm-hmm. I used to use Word. And I use either Word's built-in styles. So if you go up to the styles menu, you've got heading 1, heading 2, subheading, things like that. So I'll use heading 1 for my chapter titles. And I'll use subheadings for subheadings within the chapters. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I'll use the typical bullet point feature that's already built into Word. And then I export that as a PDF and send it to my guy. And that way everything looks nice and pretty exactly the way I want it. In Apple Pages, they have an easier ability to customize. It's still not super easy, especially the brand new version that just came out. I'm trying to get used to it now. But you can customize styles in Word as well. So what I did was I customized styles in Pages to have the color that I want, because Kindle Fire show color. So I wanted to have blue subheadings and dark blue headings. And the thing with heading 1 is when you're making your table of contents at the beginning, you can select just heading 1 and it pulls all your chapter titles automatically. You can select heading 2, which it's already built into Word. You just go create a table of contents and it's there. And then it'll show the chapter and each of the subheadings within each of your chapters. So if you want a very detailed table of contents to show browsers on who are looking at the Kindle search inside and they're deciding if they want your book or not based on the content, you can show more or less. Mm-hmm. I tend to just show the chapter titles. With my big, massive print book, I'm going to show everything because I want to show them that this big, massive print book is indeed going to give them what they're paying for. With little Kindle books, people don't have a lot of time. That's why the people that are my audience, they don't have a lot of time to read these books, so I'm not going to waste their time with all the subheadings in the table of contents as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, you just don't make it hard on yourself, guys. Just use the built-in styles that are already there or a template. And there's a lot of Word and Apple Pages templates out there that are beautiful.
And if you don't like the color, it's easy to change the heading colors and things like that and those styles, and you can save that. Okay, so now that we've got this.
A quick note about color.
Yeah.
Intentionally use blues and teals on the inside of my book because it matches the blues and teals that are in my branding for this series, not for the title, but for the actual series. If you look at any of my ebooks, you'll see there's a blue and teal heading area on my book cover that says Author's Quick Guide, and that's the color that I match on the inside. Just sneaky little way to match branding.
So that's a good point. If you're going to have a series, you kind of want to have your brand set up before you start.
Yes, you do want to think about that for sure. Have your first book cover designed and your brand set up, your fonts chosen. Colors can change. You can look at mine as an example. There's a different color, different illustration on most of them. A couple of them don't even have illustrations because they're too wordy. But the series part itself is the same color on each one. Now, that can change. We've done series for clients where the series color text changes as well, but the layout stays the same. And they use a similar picture. So one of those examples would be, I have one who writes the Sports Mom Survival Guide series, and she's got volleyball, football, I think football, and softball. So each book cover looks the same. You can tell they're the same series, the same background color, but they have different font colors based on the sport, and they have a different giant ball on the front based on what the sport is.
The other thing that I want to mention about colors, because it gets into graphic design, get somebody to help you with graphic design. We all think we're graphic designers, and most of us are terrible.
And when it comes to book covers, stay away from Fiverr. Fiverr's awesome for little graphics, but stay away from Fiverr for book covers, please, do yourself a favor. Off my soapbox now.
There you go. And use designer.
I can't tell you how many Fiverr covers we've redesigned because they weren't done right. And so Kindle wouldn't even accept them. It's just a waste of $5.
Okay, so now we are... Okay, so we went a little bit too far, too fast. Because in the prototyping stage, we're not spending a ton of money. in the prototyping stage. And we haven't spent a lot of money here already because we're really just creating our book at this point. But before we even sit down and write, because that's a lot of investing in this entire thing, in the prototyping, we got to do the prototyping and the testing kind of at the same time here, because you want to make sure that what you're going to do has a market.
Yes, absolutely.
So talk to me about marketing here and figuring out what your market is.
How do you find out if you even have a market? Well, if you already have a business, you should know the answer to that question, because you probably have some sales stats of what products or services are selling for you right now. If you are not really sure or you want to start a new niche or whatever, do a search on Amazon and search for their top bestsellers overall or their top bestsellers in nonfiction and your category, and see what kind of titles are already there. Because the ones that are already selling, that's the topics that people are most interested in. And once again, everything's been done before, so don't be afraid to do it again. If you're already known in that niche, or that's the niche you want to be known in, then don't be afraid to step out in it.
Okay, so tell us about how you do that. How do you do the top selling? How do you find the top selling books in a niche on Amazon?
Let's see, you go to Amazon.com, mm-hmm. and I'm always trying to find it because I keep moving it. If you do a shop by department to books, then at the top in the menu bar area, mm-hmm. you'll see a link for bestsellers. They have popular features on the left, best books of the year, best books of the month. You can choose either one of those or just choose the bestsellers link. And then suddenly you're in the bestsellers in books, which is overall.
Mm-hmm.
You can look on the right. Movers and shakers is a good category to look at. Hot new releases are ones that are new but selling really well already. And bestsellers of 2013 so far, you can see the top 100 there. The number one bestseller in all books in 2013 to date is the StrengthsFinder 2.0 book.
StrengthsFinder 2.0.
Yeah, that kind of surprises me. It's a nonfiction business book.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
And it tells you, go back to previous years, too, from there.
Interesting.
You can also look at New York Times bestsellers. Most of those are going to be celebrity memoir books because they mm-hmm. cheat.
mm-hmm.
They have the money to pay people to buy their books. That's really the best place to go, is to look in the bestsellers. And you can go to any category in there. I mean, they have everything from arts and photography to law to self-help. And when you click those, it's going to show the top bestsellers. So self-help, the number one bestseller is Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have that book. I need to read it.
Okay, so what we're going to do, I have a bunch of books that I haven't read, but I keep buying them.
I bought it to try and understand my husband. He's such an introvert.
Oh, man, isn't that interesting that you have a husband who's an introvert?
Yeah, go figure.
Go figure.
Big surprise there.
All right, so this afternoon, I just wanted to say before we break away here that this afternoon when we come back, actually it's only 30 minutes from now, we come back, we're going to start here. We're going to start at Amazon. We're going to look at topics that you guys are going to bring up that you would like to investigate to see what the market is, how to start pulling these things together. And then we're going to start talking about building outlines, tools for building outlines and writing outlines. And then I would think later what we'll do is investigate how to get these things up on Amazon and look at the Kindle submission process. Do you have any words for the submission process you want to tell us about?
Yeah, if you're only going to do Kindle anyway and you're not interested in going across platforms, mm-hmm. like to iBooks or Nook, which may or may not be dead in the next year, then definitely enroll your book in KDP Select. It only helps you.
Okay.
And that gets you into the Kindle Lending Library. If you're planning on doing a print book version later, or you already have a print book version out, and then enroll it in Kindle's new Matchbook program. That's where they, like you said, they have the best upsell system in the world. If someone buys a print version, And your book is also available in the Kindle store. And it doesn't have to be published by Amazon. It can be anywhere. But the only way to get in the Kindle Magical program for your Kindle version is to use KDP. But your print book can be anywhere. And all they do is they link the titles together, and when someone buys the print version, they say, hey, you bought the print version, how would you like to download and add to your cart the Kindle version for a discount for this one time? Mm-hmm. And they have one chance to get the Kindle version for a substantial discount, and you actually make a higher royalty on that.
So let me ask you, if you do this and you've published your Kindle book, can you come back later and say, wow, this was popular as a Kindle book. Let's do a print version of this using CreateSpace or whatever. Yeah, and then relaunch.
And you can relink it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And CreateSpace is a different conversation we need
right.
to have. Let's just say they don't clean their equipment.
Okay. Okay, so... what else do you want to tell people quickly about the getting it up in Kindle?
Don't be afraid to set the price at whatever pops in your head, because pricing is arbitrary. I mean, the bottom line is there's sort of a formula, like I already told you, with lead generating Kindle books. Don't price your ebook at $9.99 unless it's huge. There's no reason to do that. I mean, the $2.99 to $3.49 mark has worked really well for me. If you're on the fence, start it high, and then if it seems to only sell one copy in a week and you've told a lot of people about it, change it.
Okay.
You can. That's the awesome thing about Kindle. You can change things at any time. So I actually changed the – I thought everybody would want the bestseller ebook. I thought for sure everyone wants to know how to be a bestseller, and it really is good. It's got a whole formula in it, and it's basically what some people sell for digital programs for like $97 where they give you the video step-by-steps. I've got the step-by-steps without video, of course, but in the Kindle book for free – or, well, for cheap, way cheap. And so I priced it at $4.99 thinking this is going to rock, and it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Sold one copy. And so I changed the price to $3.99. I sold two more copies. And I'm like, okay, this isn't right. I've emailed my list. This was a later ebook in the series, so I have a lot of people waiting to buy it. And so I dropped it down to $3.49, and now it's selling.
Mm.
So test it, and don't be afraid to change it.
Okay. All right, so one of the things that Maria points out to me here is that I have a book already that it's a longer book. It's like an 80,000 word book. Book that was one of the first products that I built that I have not put on Kindle. And as she typed that in here, I need to go back because I probably have 15 ebooks.
Yeah, David, I can guarantee you have ebooks.
I mean, no,
seriously.
I mean, I have 15 ebooks done.
Done.
Yes.
I know you do. We had this conversation 3 years ago.
Yeah, we did. We did. So anyway, if I could get one of those formatted today, I would actually show you guys how to put that up. I have 10 Kindle books up, but they are joint authors with their transcription books. They are edited transcription books, and I don't even pay any attention to those. They are lead gen books, and I would do those completely differently. That was like from 2 years ago, and I would do those completely differently if I were doing it today. So this has been great. I'm getting a lot of good information out of this. I'm sure other people are as well. Now, tell us about the Kindle in 30. We got people asking about that as well.
Yay, people are asking. It's great. The Kindle in 30 challenge, my goal is if you're not already up on Kindle, you are by the end of January. If you are already up on Kindle or you're going to be up on Kindle by the end of the year because of what David's doing with you today, then you are selling it very well by the end of January. So the challenge is not just a challenge. It's a boot camp. There's going to be 4 weeks worth of training, followed by 4 weeks worth of Q&A, masterminding sessions. Everything in this challenge is taught live, so you actually get me. The training sessions won't have time for Q&A because my goal is that you do your home play, you implement it over the weekend, and wherever you're stuck, you come back with your questions on that following Tuesday, and we get them answered, and you get unstuck. So you have time to implement what you've learned. This is going to be an active group. It already is. Lee Collins, who's huge name in the internet marketing world, he used to do a ton of courses like this and boot camps, and he said the activity rate is about 10% of the people who sign up and pay actually do it. We already have a 50% rate just in the Facebook group alone.
Hmm.
of people who have signed up. And the coolest thing is they're already answering each other's questions. They have been for a couple weeks now. We have people posting links to their books that are already done, and people saying, I'm not really interested in your topic, but I bought it because I want to support you. So that is the kind of community that we're building, and Tara's already in there, so she can vouch for this. She's seen some. She's actually very one of the very active ones, and it's just it's an incredible community. I get all tickled pink and proud about it. And if you go to that website, which is David's link there, then use the new coupon code I set up this morning that David doesn't even know about. It's called David Rocks.
Oh,
it's
nice.
All one word, David Rocks, and it will take $150 off. So it's about a little over a 50% discount to get into the challenge. I have had people pay full price, and they love it.
And for those people who are listening to this later, that coupon code may not work, or it may be a different price. You'll just have to click it and see.
Yeah. It'll be a different price at midnight tonight.
Okay.
Or tomorrow morning when I wake up, but don't count on it.
Depending on how good a mood you're in.
Yeah, exactly. If I'm up at midnight tonight, then it will change, and it will probably take be $50 more. So it'll still be a good deal, but to get into it, then you definitely want to get with that coupon code. I'm not running the early bird special anymore. So some people got in with an early bird, but we're getting close to the deadline. We need to start taking action. And if you want this community of over 200 people to promote your book for you, that's so awesome. I can't wait for my big print book to come out.
Boy, this is really brilliant because you're going to have all these people out there who are pushing it for you. So that's really great marketing as
well.
Yeah.
And this just added thing, we haven't gotten my pretty graphics up yet because literally it was just added a couple days ago. The just added was my self-publish on Kindle course that does sell for $97. And that is now free as part of this challenge. So those of you already in the challenge, you have access to that in your members area. Those of you not in the challenge yet, it will be there in your members area.
And Rob, you asked if there's a discount price to this through the MyNAMS system. This is the discount price using David Rock's coupon code. So there you go. And we have another question or two as people look at this. By the way, that was nams.ws/KindleN30, KindleN30, number 30, KindleN30. And the coupon code was David Rocks. I like that. I get to say
that.
Yeah. All right. So Dane is saying, have you tried the KD Suite software? Do you know about that from Dave Grindin's?
I have not tried that yet. I know there's a couple emails in my inbox. That might be one of them because it does sound familiar from people wanting to JV with me and have me test it out. So as soon as I'm done writing this crazy Kindle Book a Week thing, that's going to be my goal. So during the challenge, I will be testing other systems so that I can give my reviews to you guys and let you know it works. So we also have people in the challenge that have used other systems and say, yeah, it works, or no, it doesn't.
And by the way, folks, I'm going to be in the challenge. I'm taking this challenge. I'm planning on having a couple of new Kindle books up by the end of January myself. So there you go. And let's see, Mary Louise is asking, does Kinstant work with OpenOffice word processing documents?
As long as it's a .doc extension.
Yep. And it does do that. Let's see. Can you be in KDP and also be selling your PDF version on your own site?
Yes, you can.
Okay. And is there an exclusive period where you can't do that, though?
Their exclusive period applies to 90 days, and it's 90 days at a time, so as long as it's enrolled. But a PDF is considered different. So if you present your PDF with a checklist, with a bundle, yes, you can sell it on your site. They don't have a problem with that. But if it's sold through other ebook distributors, they do have a problem with that.
Okay, good. All right, so that's it for the questions that we have. We've done a great job here today, Kristen. I really appreciate your time. All right, well, we're going to end this session. And, Kristen, thank you so much for being here. This was great information. People need to get into the KindleN30. That's nams.ws/KindleN30. And the coupon code was David Rocks. So, excellent. Thanks, Kristen.
You're welcome, David. It's been awesome to be here.
Talk to you later.
Can't wait to see you guys implement. Yay!
Bye-bye.
Bye.